North Hens and Kolel, 15th of November 2009, Kafes Mar Cheshvan, Tafshin Ayin, Shir on Tehillim, Perik Tesval, given by Gershon Hepner. Okay, we're on the last Pasuk. This is Dr. Amalek's recipe, of course, for Mi Yogur Ba'olecha, who will dwell in your tent, and Mishkem HaKachecha, and who will dwell on your holy mountain. That's his opening passage for the chapter, and he's giving us 11 good midas to emulate, and we're on the last passage. Passage Hey. Kaspola Masam Beneshech, this true tzaddik does not give his money away on interest, charging interest, doesn't lend money for interest. The Shukhad Al Noki Lo Lokoch, nor does he take a bribe for an innocent person, so he neither charges interest nor does he take any bribes. Oseyele, one who does all these things that is listed in this chapter, these 11 midas, Oseyele, one who performs these, leimetz leolam, will not slip forever. In other words, the Art School translation, the nice translation, will never falter. Someone who has got these good midas will not falter. Okay, so there's a few things on this. First of all, you haven't got the neginus printed there, but on the word eile, there's an esnachdo, which makes it very strange, because it looks as though that's the pause in the pasuk. Kaspel ha'masam ha'neshech, he doesn't charge interest, v'shuchad ha'maki lo lokach, nor does he take bribes. Osei eile, one who does these, comma, will not slip forever. And of course the answer is the esnachto in Tehillim is not a comma. That's a very important point when learning Tehillim, that throughout Tanakh the esnachto serves as a comma or a pause in the pasuk, other than in three sforim, Iyov, Mishlei and Tehillim. Aleph Mem Sof is the way to remember them. They're called Sifrei Emes. Aleph Mem Sof, Iyov, Mishlei and Tehillim. The esnachta does not count as a pause in this passage. In fact, the pause really is on the word lokoch, and you can see that it's got the word lokoch and not lokach. So that's a pausal form of the word lokach. It changes into lokoch. So, katzel and osam neshech, the person who does not charge interest doesn't give his money away by charging interest, and also v'shechad al nokil lokoch, nor does he take bribes for an innocent person. Os, comma. Oseilev, one who does these, lo yimotu lelam, will not slip forever. So that's the first important point, how to understand the pasuk. So Rashi explains, what's this idea of a shochad al-noki lo lokach? He doesn't take bribes for an innocent person. So Rashi says, even if the judge, having heard the case, knows full well that this man is an innocent man, or in a civil case that this man is the victor of the case, he's the one who's going to he should find in his favour. So in that sense, he knows the man to be noki. He knows him to be innocent, or he knows him to be the victorious party, the winner of a court case. Even so, he won't take a bribe for him, because you could say, well, the bribe won't affect his judgment. He's already found him in this man's favour. He's already found this man to be innocent. He's already made his mind up. No, even for such a person, he will not take a bribe. He won't, even though he's already made his mind up. Absolutely not. And therefore, of course, kal v'chomer, he won't take a bribe to find a guilty person innocent, or to find the person who really should not win a court case, to find him in his favour to make him win. So the pasuk is telling you a bigger chiddush. V'shechad al-noki lo lokach. He won't take a bribe even to find in favour of the one whom he knows to be a noki. That's how Rashi learns. Rashi also points out lo yimot, he won't slip. And Rashi ties it in with the beginning of the chapter where David says, "Mithal David Hashem mi yogur balecha, who will be zochet to dwell in your tent, mi yishkem hakotcheha, who will live on your holy mountain." He says, "Such a person, he won't slip, and therefore he will deserve to be within Hakadosh Baruch Hu's holy confines." Rashi also then says a nice, interesting chiddush on the last phrase, lo yimot liyonam, he won't slip. In other words, the pasuk has actually given it has qualified. Supposing the Prophet would have said, Osei Eile Lo Yimot, the one who does these 11 mitzvahs won't slip. That's it, full stop. He won't slip at all. But the Pasuk Olam finds it. He won't slip le'olam. He won't falter forever. So Rashi points out that a man who's got all these wonderful qualities may well falter at some stage. But even if he does falter, his faltering will not be everlasting. He won't slip forever. Le'olam. So in other words, we are allowing a person to falter. Such a person may well falter, but it won't be an everlasting faltering. He won't falter for good. It'll just be a temporary situation. The Ibn Ezra points out that our pasuk is quite poetic in that we have the expression lo nosan, he doesn't give his money by charging interest, and then we have the exact opposite, lo lokach, he doesn't take. It's in order to retain a sort of a poetic balance within the pasuk. He doesn't give his money and charge interest in the process, nor does he take a bribe. And Ibn Ezra says it's one parallel to the other to give it sort of a sense of balance. I think it's like some kind of poetic balance in the pasuk. That's how Ibn Ezra does. Then Ibn Ezra says a very interesting thing. Our pasuk actually speaks about inactivity. Till now we've spoken about activity, activity. He holech tomim, he goes in perfection, mefarel tzedek, impossible base, he does righteousness, he speaks the truth, etc. Most of the chapter is activity, and in our last passage it's inactivity. He avoids certain averas. He avoids the avera of charging ribis, of charging interest. And it's Oseile who does these things. So the Ibn Ezra points out that Oseile can be an idea of doing something positive by doing nothing. And he quotes two pesukim. I don't quite understand this. He quotes two pesukim. Firstly, he quotes the pasuk Shom Ibn Ezra es haShabbos, la'asos es haShabbos, to do the Shabbos. And I think what he means is, by refraining from malacha, you are doing Shabbos. You are la'asos. So la'asos can be an inertia from doing averus.
Well, you can join a crowd to lynch a person, or you can stand back.
You stand back, yeah. Oh.
They say there are many things on Shabbos that you do
the other time. Yeah, for sure it's got positive things as well, absolutely. So there's action, but there's also a certain amount of inactivity that we do in order to avoid doing the malachas. And I think that's what he means, but I'm not sure of it. Then he quotes another pasuk, which was just handed last week, etc., in 2 weeks ago now, Vayera, where the pasuk says, Vayimahel asos oso. It's Avraham Avinu going to prepare the meat for the Malachim who came to visit. It's in chapter Yud Ches Pasuk Zayin. Vayimahel asos oso. He hurried to do it, to prepare it. And he says it's an expression, and Ibn Ezra comments it's an expression of preparation. And in fact, on the pasuk of Lasis es haShabbos in Kisisa, it's chapter Lamed Aleph pasuk Tes Zayin. On that pasuk, Lasis es haShabbos, he says it's all about preparing on erev Shabbos. So there is activity to do on erev Shabbos to get you ready for Shabbos. Likewise, here we have Vayimahel Lasis also. It's all preparation. Preparation of the meat, of the Shechito, and the preparation of the meat, capturing the meat for the Malachim. It's all about preparation. And I think that's what you might be saying here as well. Ose Eile, one who prepares himself by doing these things. He prepares his neshama by doing all these things. So it can also refer to, it can refer to a certain amount of inertia. But I also saw in, let me just check this, I think it was in the Yalkut Mi'am Lois. Yes, in the Yalkut Mi'am Lois quotes a Gemara in Kiddushin that Lamed Tes on the base. Right at the bottom of Lamed Tes on the base, where the Gemara says, here we are. Yoshav v'lo ozar aveira. If a person sits, in other words, he's inert, he's idle, v'lo ozar aveira, and he has not done an aveira, nesnim lo sochar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him reward, ka'osei mitzvah, as though he's done a mitzvah. So the Yalkut Mi'am Lois quotes it on our pasuk, because here we have negatives. He does not charge interest, he does not take bribes, so he's inert in these averas. Oseila, it's as though you've done something, it's as though you've done a mitzvah. It's as though you see Yosha Velo Ova, they are listening no sachar ka osa mitzvah. Yeah? So it's as though you get rewarded for being inert and doing avir. Then the Gemara actually qualifies that by saying that only applies kigun shabod v'var avira liyado, where he had an opportunity for doing an avira, for nitzel himena, and he was saved from it. He didn't do the avira. He could have done the avira, but he chose not to. He forced his yitzer, and he was inert from doing an avira. So he says, likewise, someone who has an opportunity to charge interest, an opportunity to take bribes, and refrains from doing so, osa eile, it's as though he's actually performed a mitzvah. The Yalkut Miamnez also points out, yes, that in our posuk we've made an interesting diversion. Till now in the chapter we've spoken about someone who's good to other people, he never harms anyone, he doesn't speak badly, and so on and so forth. In our posuk we suddenly have a willing accomplice, someone who is prepared to borrow money on interest. The lover, the guy who's borrowing the money, he's only too happy to pay the interest. Why? Because he knows that with the loan he can make a business deal and he can make more profits and cover the interest, that makes him more profit as well. So he's only too happy to borrow the money on interest. So the malver is actually doing this guy a financial favour. Because the lover, the chap who's lending the money, the lover, the one who wants to borrow the money, is so happy he's only too happy to pay the interest. Yet the malver refrains from lending him. Likewise, the shochad al nokhi lelokoch, the chap who takes a bribe, is in a way doing a favour for the person. There's a person who's willing to pay a bribe. It's worth his while. I'll pay a bribe and I'll get my own way. So he's only too happy. So here he's not going to make anybody upset. The guy who pays the interest is only too happy. The guy who pays the bribe is only too happy. Nevertheless, this true tzaddik will refrain from these averus. So it's a new style of avera. Till now we're speaking about averas of a person is only good to other people and he doesn't harm anyone else. Here, the malzer isn't harming the lover. The lover is only too happy. Here, the chap who takes the bribe is not harming the guy who's paying the bribe. The guy who's paying is only too happy. So that's how the Alchemy of Moses explains that here we're talking about a new higher madrigon, a different class of tzaddik. He doesn't even do an aviro that on the surface seems to do a favour to be beneficial to the person who's paying the money.
How do you explain with the mitzvah, you need the action. To sit and learn Torah and say nothing with your lips, the thoughts don't elevate.
It does. If you do, a person who learns Torah without speaking the word is still learning Torah.
Yeah, but
it's not as good as saying the word.
The highest levels are reached when you with action. When it comes with a lower say, by not doing the things, you're not doing anything, you're refraining. Is that also part of an action?
The Gemara says it is. If you could have done the Avera and didn't,
it's an action.
You've done well.
It's an action.
Yeah. That's it.
Interesting.
Okay. The Razak points out, wait a minute, we get this right. No, let's first do a piece of Gemara. The Gemara in Makkos. This is the Gemara in Makkos, Daf Kaftan Lamed Aleph, which goes through this whole chapter in detail. So the Gemara in Makkos explains, he didn't give out money and charge interest in the process. Says the Gemara, it cannot refer to lending money on interest in the normal way. Why? Because this whole chapter in Tehillim deals with lifnim mishuras hadin, going above and beyond the letter of the law. Well, charging money, lending money on interest, is an absolute issa d'oraisa. That's not lifnim mishuras hadin, that's not beyond the letter of the law, that is the law. So our Gemara, our pasuk must be referring to something on a higher madrigo. Says the Gemara, what does it mean? Kastel anosam and Hashem, he didn't pay his money on interest, it means afilu beribah sezeid kechovim, even by charging money to a non-Jew on interest. Lending money to non-Jew with interest, which is permitted according to the halacha. You may, yes, la nachri sashich, you are allowed to charge interest to a non-Jew. Likewise, you're also allowed to pay interest to a non-Jew. You're allowed to borrow money from a non-Jew and pay him interest. But So our Gemara is saying that if a person, so our Pasuk is saying, we're talking about such a tzaddik that he will even refrain from lending money on interest to a non-Jew. Says Rashi, what's so wonderful about that? Why is it so special to refrain from lending money on interest to a non-Jew? It's mutter, you are allowed to. So Rashi explains on the Gemara that if a person were to do so, kadesh lo yimshoch, because it's got a magnetic pull, v'yavo lahalvis lisol v'ribis, if he gets in the habit of charging money to a non-Jew interest, the habit could spill over and he could start lending money to Jews and start charging interest for that. Or refrain from lending money to a Jew. But Rashi says it could lead a person to lending money to a Jew with interest. So along comes our Pasuk and says, here we're talking about a super Jew, he won't even charge interest to a non-Jew. Why? Because he doesn't want to get into the habit, he doesn't want to get used to it. The Radak on our Pasuk seems to base himself on this Gemara and gives a slightly different turn on it.
In a way, if you don't lend on interest, it's like improves you as a person. And I think that if you lend interest to a goy, it has an effect on your neshama,
because it can get you used to it.
Your purity
can tell if a bad habit. On purity, yeah.
Purity,
yeah.
Well, it's
yeah.
Also good for sure.
Can be, yes.
Yeah. Things for what sort of this is dying, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's wonderful things.
Yeah. Yeah. The Radak on our Pasuk seems to base himself on the same piece of on the same Gemara, i.e. we're talking about a real tzaddik who doesn't lend money to a non-Jew on interest, and he says as follows: I didn't understand the Radak, but what I'm now quoting is the art scroll quotation of the Radak. I couldn't understand the Radak inside. And the art scroll on Tilim uses as follows: that the Radak says, if a non-Jew does a favour for a Jew, so the Jew wants to say thank you. So how can he say thank you? He could take a gift to the non-Jew. That would be a very nice thing to do, and that's called basic human gratitude. But it's better not to. Why? Because if you give a gift to a non-Jew, a free gift can be embarrassing to the recipient. So if you give a free gift to the non-Jew, you could end up embarrassing him, even though you're giving him the free gift in order to say thank you. Far better than to give a free gift, lend him money without interest. Because then at least he won't be so embarrassed, because it's a loan, and he's going to have to repay the loan, but he's getting something for it, because he doesn't have to pay any interest. So he said it's less embarrassing to the non-Jew if you lend him money without interest, because rather than giving him a free gift, which could end up embarrassing him. So it's on a higher madrigo, we're talking about a real super chassidus madrigo, to lend money to the non-Jew without interest, where the alternative would have been to give him a free gift, which could have embarrassed him. That's how the Radak learned. Yeah. Now, still sticking on the Radak. No, that's it on the Radak. Yeah. The Meiri, the Meiri says, oh yes, the Meiri quotes a Gemara in Ksubas Daf Kufei Amud Aleph, where the Gemara discusses that a judge may not take he can't take payment for his work. But there's one form of payment that he is allowed to take, which is called Agar Betelor, which means reward, agar means reward or payment, betelo for being otherwise idle from other means of income. So in other words, if he has other means of income, then he is allowed to be paid the money that he would have earned had he been allowed to do, the money that he would have earned had he spent that time. Thank you very much. Gosh, take me back if he is. Opportunity cost. Economics A level, which I failed. Yeah.
Very good.
I failed it. Opportunity cost. Yeah. I failed most of my A level.
Paid by whom?
Paid by whom? Oh, good question. Probably paid from public funds, I imagine. Yeah. Yeah. That's it. So there's an opportunity cost that he could have done some other work, and he didn't, and therefore he's allowed to pay Agar Betelor money for otherwise being idle from his regular income. Says the Radak, No, sorry, says the Me'iri, that's what we're talking about here. Here we're talking about the Shochad al Noki lo lokoch. He's not taking any bribes. Can't mean not taking bribe from a litigant or from an accused person, because that's simple halacha, you can't. Posekim Basha Shoftim, you can't do it, you can't take a bribe. Therefore, what does it mean? It means we're talking about, again, a super Jew who won't even take that which he is actually entitled to take, namely his costs, his expenses, or his agar b'teilah, the money he would otherwise have earned. And the Radak quotes a Posek about Moshe Rabbeinu, where the Posek says about Moshe Rabbeinu, lo etim parashas Korach, lo chamer echod mehem nososi. Yeah, it's chapter Tezvayin, Posek Tezvov. Let me show you. Posek Tezvayin Tezvov, where Moshe is confronted by Korach, Vayechal Moshe Moed is very upset, very cross, Vayemel Hashem, Al Tifnam and Chosam, don't listen to them, Mincha, don't listen to what Korach and his gang are doing. Lo chamer echad mehem nososi. I never even took a chamer, not even one donkey, Vlo Hari Yosef, Achemim, and never did any harm to them. Moshe, in a position of power, could easily have, you know, bumped up his expenses. They were in the middle of a political expenses route, so he could have, you know, he could have bumped up his expenses, or he could have taken free gifts and so on. No, he never took a thing. Lechamer echad mehem nososi. And this gives me a nice excuse for me to say a vort that I've often thought about. That is the haftarah of Parshas Korach. Korach is Madam Mitzvah, etc. So I'm very aware of the Haftarah as well, where the Haftarah is the story of where the people approached Shmuel HaNavi and asked for a king. Now, what is the connection between the Sedra and the Haftarah? And you know, the back of the article, Stone Chumash, always brings a connection between the Sedra and the Haftarah. And I can't remember what he brings there, usually in the name of Reb David Feinstein. But one thing that has often occurred to me is that in the Haftarah there contains, it's in Shmuel Aleph, and it's in chapter Yud Beis Pasuk Gimel, where Shmuel HaNavi is very upset at the people's request to have a king. Mm-hmm. And he turns and he says, Hineni anuvi, you can give evidence for me, neged Hashem, before Hashem, and neged Mashiach, Esher mi lokachti, whose ox have I taken? Vachamer mi lokachti, and whose donkey have I taken? Vesmi oshakti, whom have I oppressed? Vesmi ratsusi, and whom have I crushed? And mi ad mi lokachti chotet, and whom have I taken any money? Etc. Shmuel was a judge, he was a shofet, he was a circuit judge, and he was in a position of taking if he would have wanted to, and he didn't. And I've often wondered that this might be a close link between Parshas Korach and Haftarah, because Moshe says that he never took anything, lo chamer echad mehem lososi, and Shmuel says a very similar idea. And I've often wondered if that is actually one of the connections between the Sedra and Haftarah. So likewise, so Agar Batelah, the judge is entitled to his basic expenses, is entitled to his opportunity cost payments. So the Me'iri learns that even that, our Pasuk, that he doesn't take any shochad, is a reference to that. Good. Let's go to the, here is a piece of Chasam Sofer. Oh, listen to this Chasam Sofer. Yaakov Haim found the Chasam Sofer on Tehillim, lying around the yeshiva, and it was very bashed up, very battered, and the cover had been ripped off, and there's no name on it. And he asked the rabbis in the yeshiva, is this considered hefker? And they said, yes, it's hefker. And he came home, Daddy, I've got your chasam sofer on Tehillim. So the chasam sofer on Tehillim, on this passage, quotes the following. He says, Kasper lenosan beneshech. We're talking about the tzaddik who doesn't charge money, doesn't make a loan and charge interest. Says the Chasam Sofer, the Pasuk does not say Kesef Lo Nosan Beneshech. He didn't charge money. He didn't give out money on interest. The Pasuk says Kaspo, his money. Says the Chasam Sofer, what's so special about this man? We're talking about a tzaddik who knows how profitable interest is. How does he know? Because he has lent money on interest. How did he do that? So the Chasam Sofer quotes the Gemara in Ezer, Neshech, which I could not find. And I looked at the whole perek, and I couldn't find it. It's there somewhere, I just missed it. That according to one opinion, the Chasam Sofer says, there is an opinion that someone who is an apotropos for Yesonim. That means he handles the financial affairs for a trustee. Sometimes a trustee for the finances of Yesonim, of orphans, is allowed to use their money to lend it to others, to Jews, and charge interest. He's not the owner of money, he's a trustee, and then he's doing the Yesonim a big favour because he's telling them he's making some profit for them, and the profit will accrue to the Yesonim.
I can understand where it's coming from.
Yeah, there is an opinion, there's one opinion. I don't know if it's la halacha. I don't know if that opinion is accepted in Shulchan Aruch. Indeed. Okay, so maybe the child will know about it. He might not even know about it.
No, but he'll know about it in the future.
Okay, so when he's older and more mature, he can be told by the Safa Chop, if I did it to your benefit, and you should know it's also...
People give it a bad name for the child, the estate.
Yeah, okay. I don't know if it's accepted in halacha, but the Chasam says there is an opinion that the apotropos, the trustee, is allowed to charge interest with the money belonging to the Yesonim, and they will be the beneficiaries of that. Yeah, absolutely. To non-Jew, you can lend your own money on interest. Yeah? So the Prophet says, the Chasam says, Kaspo lo nasa menesher. He has not lent his own money on interest, which means he has lent the other people's money. He's a man who really knows how profitable interest can be, because he's lending money on interest, and that money could be the money of the Yesonim, and he's the trustee. He knows the value of interest, and nonetheless he still refrains from lending his own money on interest.
He can't lend money of non-Jews.
No.
So he would say he's a representative of a company, for example, a loan company. He's lending money of non-Jews to Jews.
Yeah.
Is a Jew lending money to Jews?
Yeah. If that really is the case, I believe it's mutter. If that really is genuinely money belonging to non-Jews,
for a bank can actually lend.
I believe it's mutter. I'll tell you who's an expert on this is Robert Rifkin. Robert Rifkin knows these halachas inside out because he works for a Jewish bank, and he knows what's mutter and what's not mutter. So we'll have to ask Robert about it. But if it genuinely is money,
then it is good, don't they?
Yeah, yeah, but I can't remember how it works. I once knew, I can't remember anymore. Yeah. Okay, so that's how the Chasam Sofer lands. Where are we? Yeah. Back. Yeah. Let's go to Yachdus. Okay. The Alshich. Yes, the Alshich has a very similar pshat to this piece of Chasam Sofer. The Alshich learns, quotes the Gemara. The Gemara is in Bava Metzia Daf Ayin Hei Amud Aleph, where the Gemara says that Talmidei Chachamim are allowed to lend money on interest to each other. Look at this. V'Amar Rabbi Huda Amar Shmuel, Talmidei Chachamim Mutarim Bilvezeh Mizeberibis. Talmidei Chachamim are allowed to lend money to each other on interest. My timer, why is that? Meida Yadei, they will surely know Deribis Asura, they know that Deribis is forbidden, and therefore Umatono Hudu Yohave Ahadadi, and they appreciate that the extra money that they're giving is considered a gift, and therefore not interest. Now, this is a risky halacha to put on to record, because I looked it up in Shulchan Aruch, you find it in Yerodeh, someone Kuf Samach, if Yud Zayin. And there are all sorts of conditions attached, and it's a sort of halacha that's not to be encouraged. For example, well, for a start, they've got to be Talmid Chachamim. How do you define a Talmid Chachamim? Do we still have Talmid Chachamim in that sense? The people whom the Gemara calls Talmid Chachamim may no longer exist. Yeah, we may not have them in our generations anymore. And in halacha, the halacha limits it can only be food, what you're giving extra is a bit of food, and it can only be a little bit. And as you say, it's got to be a genuine Talmid Chacham. At any rate, the Alshich on our pasuk says this is another permissible activity of ribbis, where ribbis is permitted. And he says our pasuk says, again talking about a super Jew, lifnim mishus adin, he won't even do that. Kasper lenasa menesher, he won't even do this kind of ribbis, which is according to that, which can indeed be permitted. That's how he learns it. Okay. Now let's go to I mentioned earlier the Rashi who learns that the Shochad al Noki lo Lokach, where Rashi says he doesn't take a bribe even to find an innocent person innocent. In other words, he's already made his mind up, this man is innocent, even so he won't take a bribe. Masad Rav Kook to him brings another pshat. The Shochad Anoki is the exact opposite. It's to find the innocent person guilty. So you're being bribed by the wrong person, in order to find a truly innocent person guilty, and a person won't take a bribe for that. Just to say that for the sake of completeness, there's a bit of a machlokes there between Rashi and that other source quoted there. Now, the Shochad Anoki Lo Lokoch. Let's come on to this. Here we have this beautiful story, which Blinez, I'm going to tell our children next Shabbos lunch. The Gemara in Makkos, the Shochad Anoki. Here we go, back to our passage. The Shochad Anoki Lo Lokoch. He doesn't take a bribe for even for an innocent person. So the Gemara in Makkos, Da Kaf Dalet Amid Aleph. Here it is. Brings this is a reference to Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yossi. Why? What's special about Shmuel bar Rabbi Yossi? And Rashi explains that it comes from a Gemara in Ksubas Kuf Hei Amud Beis, which is all about bribery. Kuf Hei Amud Beis. Says the Gemara, brings an amazing story. Listen to this story. I'll read it out. Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yossi have a rogu arise. He had a gardener or a man working on his own field. So Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yossi owned a field, and he had a man working on the field, and the man would presumably receive a salary, or maybe a percentage of the crops, but the rest of the crops he would have to bring to Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yossi, who is the owner of that food. And this oris, this worker is called an oris, to have a maisele kol mali shabsa, every erev Shabbos, this man would bring to Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yossi kinsa de feri, a basket of fruit. The food from that he'd been working on the field, he made his weekly deliveries of the food that rightfully belonged to Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yossi. He brought it to him every Erev Shabbos. Yom Echad, on one occasion, Aiseleh behei b'shabso. On one occasion, he brought in this same basket of fruit, which belonged to Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yossi, but he brought it one day early on a Thursday. Amalei, so Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yossi said to him, Maishna Huidna, what's going on today? You're one day early, it's unusual, well, what's going on? Amalei, so this Oris replied, you know what's coming, you can work it out. The Oris replied, Dina Isli, I've got a court case today, in your basin. So I'm coming to see you anyway, and it's convenient for me. This man is genuine. This Oris is absolutely genuine. Yeah, the Amina, and I thought, Agav Urchi, while I'm coming in anyway, Aisile Lamar, I'll bring you the food today. Why should I? I've got to step out tomorrow as well. I'm schlepping here today anyway. I've got a court case in your basin, so I'm going to see you. So while I'm here, I'll kill two birds with one stone. I'll make the delivery today. Ha ha. So, lo kobil mine. He refused to take the food on that day. I'm going to get one day early. That'll give me an unfair advantage. Even though it's mine, Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yossi says, I'm not going to take it today. So first of all, he refused to take it. Omale, then he turned to him, Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yossi then turned to this orator and said, Pesil malach ledino, I'm now possible to become your judge, because you've attempted to bribe me. Now this man was not bribing him, he was genuinely in his own benefit to bring the food and save himself an extra journey. So Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi says, I'm now possible to be your judge, and so he didn't do it. So what did he do? Osiv zuga d'rabbonam. The Gemara says, Osiv zuza l'rabbonam, and I'm convinced it's a misprint, because later on the Gemara uses a similar story and says zuga d'rabbonam. He sat down two other dayanim, the Kodainin lay, and they were the ones who judged the case of this Oris. He said, I can't do the case, and I've got two other Dayanim instead. Bahadid the Ka'ozil v'Ossi, and I think it means that he sat in on the case, and he heard the case. And as the case was proceeding, Omar, he thought to himself, or he said to himself, he suddenly started seeing all sorts of advantageous claims that this Oris could make in the court case. Omar, he said, the people who take bribes should be, I think tepech nafsham means sort of they should meet an untimely end. Why? Umma ani shele notalti, because in my case I didn't even take it. And nevertheless, sympathetic thoughts for this man keep occurring to me, and I didn't even take the gift. Yeah? The innotalti, and even if I would have taken it, sheli notalti, I'm only taking that which rightfully belongs to me in any case. So, and kach, if that's what's happening to me, even despite this situation, mekabli shechad alachas kama mechama, how much more so people who really do take bribes?
Could he, as a judge and an employer of this man, if the man comes to him on the day of the case, can he sit in judgment when the guy is actually his employee?
I have the same kasher. He's his employee. How can he be a judge at all if this man is his own employee? I had the same kasher. I don't know. I had another kasher, which I was delighted to see in the Marashah, and I didn't fully understand the answer, and that is the Gemara says that he sat down two other judges, and he got them to judge the case. Two judges can't judge a case. You need three. So that's one answer given by the Marashah. One answer given by the Marashah is that he made up the third judge. So he played a part in the judgment, but a minor role. It seems to have been a minor role, because he would have otherwise judged the case by himself, and like this, he sat on the case. He said, maybe gives another chat, and then maybe indeed two other judges judged the case. Yeah, I'm not quite sure. I think the kasher is stronger than the teres. But the marshal says it, maybe I didn't understand the marshal properly, but I was delighted that I saw the kasher in the marshal. How could he make two judges judge the case? At any rate, you see there, this v'shechad al-noki lo-lokach, the effect. The man who refuses to take the shochad, the Gemara says, who's this wonderful example? It's Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. He would have taken that which was his anyway. He was suddenly getting it a day early, etc., etc. And he counted himself out of the case, and despite that, he still started having sympathetic thoughts for this oris, for this judge, for this
judge. The judge would be allowed to judge an employee.
Yeah, I would imagine that. I imagine not. Yeah.
And English law is based on Mosaic.
Yeah.
So it's good to be
there, isn't it? Yeah. I don't know. Kasha, how could he judge his own employees? I don't know. Akasha. Okay. The Me'iri. Oh, we mentioned a bit of Me'iri before. Let's come back to another piece of Me'iri. Kasper Lenosa Meneshech, he doesn't give his money on interest. Says the Me'iri again, it can't be a regular case of interest because regular interest is also deraisa. So what is it talking about? Again, in the case of Lefim Mishus Adin, he doesn't get anything. And he says it's a reference to helping out a poor man with absolutely no advantages whatsoever. And he says, he talks about kovod. A person could give tzedakah or lend money to a poor man, but he wants his name in light. You know, I lent money to this poor man when he was needy. So he says, that would be considered getting a bit extra hanor. Kasper lenosa meneshech was about a superman, a super Jew, who won't take anything, not even extra covered, for having lent money to someone. So if he has to lend money, if he's going to lend money to someone in need, he'll do so in private. So no one will ever know about it. So it's a private thing. He doesn't get any covered for it. The Radak points out, the person who does all these wonderful middos in this chapter will not slip le'olam forever, will not falter le'olam, says the Radak. This word le'olam means after he's died. His neshama will always be in a very high position. He won't slip after Misa either. That's how he lands it. That's how the Radak lands it. Now, let's say a piece of Reb Shimshon Falhersh. Tricky piece of Shimshon Falhersh. He says the word osei is spelled with a tsere under the sin. Osei. Not oseh, but osei. Not oseh with a segel, but osei with a tsere. Now, present tense, present participle, one who is doing these things. They're both present tense, both present participles. So, if you would have asked me, I would have said, well, osei and oseh are interchangeable forms. They're both present tense. Sometimes it'd be osei, sometimes it'd be oseh. The tsere and the segol are very similar vowels. They look the same, they look similar. One's got two dots, one's got three dots. And even sound similar. And in fact, the sfaradin would pronounce a tsere like we pronounce a segol. A svaidu would pronounce it ose, like we pronounce a segol. So they're very similar. That's what I would have said. Says the Shem Shem Falhash, a whopping chiddush. He says, no, there is a difference between ose with a tsere and ose with a segol.
Continuous.
Yes, it does.
Whole time.
But they both mean that. They both mean that. That's not the difference between them. They both mean that. Yeah. Unbelievable how he learns his Lashon HaKodesh, how he learned his Hebrew. And he refers back to the previous chapter, chapter Yudalad Posuk Aleph, which is a bit of an antithesis to our chapter, speaking about really bad people. Here we're learning all about really good people. Here we're learning about really bad people. And the Posuk finishes there. Posuk Aleph. You chapter Yudala Posuk Aleph says, Ein Osei Tov. There is no one who is doing good. Says Rav Shimshon Van Hirsch, the difference between Osei and Osei is as follows. Osei is someone who is totally devoted to doing something. And it's his whole principle in life to do this thing, and he's thorough about it, and he's constantly doing whatever it is. That's osei with a tsere. Oseh with a segol means someone who may well occasionally do a particular thing. So going back to chapter Yudalad, ein osei tov is not all bad news. Says Rav Shimshon Van Hirsch, you find bad people who do occasional good things, and that is and that's why the apostle says in Osei Tov, there's no one who is constantly devoted to not doing good. I've said that really badly. I'm going to try one again. In Osei Tov means there's no one who is. I got that wrong. Enosetov means there's no one who is constantly doing good, who is thoroughly devoted to a life of doing good. That's chapter Yudalad Posuk Aleph. There's no one who is devoted to constantly doing thorough goodness. Why? Because there are some people who may be bad people, but who still do occasional good. So in Enosetov, there's no one who's constantly doing bad. There's no one who's constantly doing good. Let me just get to the punchline. So now back to our pasuk is osei eile. Again, is the constancy, the thoroughness, the thorough devotion, and the prince. Someone who does this is a principle, as a way of life, as a matter of principle. Osei eile, the person who keeps to all these good mitzvahs in chapter 15 as a constant thoroughness, devotion. Osei eile, one who's constantly devoted to that, lo yemet liolam, he will not falter. So that's how the Rav Shimshon Van Hirsch learns it. So osei eile, someone who's devoted to constantly doing good things.
Osei lema sabreishis.
Yeah,
osei lema sabreishis. Osei, because Hashem is constantly ma sabreishis.
Yeah.
Is that
related to that? I don't know. I'm not sure if you could apply the same rule to a bracha from Chazal, which Chazal formulates, to wording in a pasuk where Rav Shimshon Van Hirsch is really quite prepared to be medayik the pasuk to this extent between Oseh and Osei. I'm not sure if you can apply it to Oseh Masa Rishis. I don't know. Are you okay for a bit of time still? Sorry?
Not much.
Do you mind if I carry on still? Just go when you're ready. I'll give you a tape if you like. I would like to finish the whole thing. Probably I can't stop a bit, my fault.
Mm-hmm.
Probably 10 minutes. Yeah? It's okay. The Gemara says, yeah, so the Gemara in Makkah stuff, Kaftal and Gamad Aleph, goes on to ask a question, to tell us a story. When Rabbi Gamliel came to this pasuk, he became quite depressed. Says the Gemara, Kishahoy Rabbi Gamliel Magiel Mikrozeh, Hoya Bulcha, when Rabbi Gamliel learned our pasuk, Ose Ele Le Yimet Le Olam, he started crying. Oma, he said, Man to Ovid Lehu Lechunhu? Who do the Yimot? Is it only the person who does all these things? We've got 11 demands of really top quality midas made of us. Rav Gamliel says, is the Pasuk telling us, Oseh Eile, only the person who does all these things, Lo Yemet Le'olam, only he will never falter? He says, that's incredibly demanding. You've got to do all of them. But if you would only keep one of these 11, he's going to falter. Rav Gamliel became very depressed about that. Amulei, so the Chachamim answered him, and the note at the side said it was actually Rabbi Akiva who answered him. No. It says, Mi Kasiv, does the Pasuk say, O say, Kol Eile? Does the Pasuk say that you've got to do all of these things in order to never falter? It doesn't say that. It says, O say, Ela, O say, Eile. It says, someone who does these. Meaning, Afilu Chadaminahu, even if you only do one of them. So you've got this wonderful guarantee of Lo Yimot Le'olam, even if all you manage is to keep to one of these 11.
At least one of these 11
good mitzvahs. Yeah. So with that, he consults Rav Gamliel. And then the Gemara proves it. V'ilotim hachi, you've got to say it. Because if you wouldn't learn like that, Kesiv Karachin, you've got another pasuk. It says, Al Titamu Ubachol Eile. It's a pasuk at the end of Parashas Achrimos, at the end of the parasha of all the arayas, all the forbidden relationships. And and where the pasuk says, "Al titamu, do not become impure b'chol eile with all these things." So the pasuk is in chapter, it's in the end of Achimos, chapter of Ches Pasuk Kaf Dalet. Al titamu b'chol eile, don't become tomei with any of these things, all these forbidden relationships. So the Hosam Nami, are you going to apply the same rule over there? Hanager b'chol eile hudamitame. Are you going to say that only someone who transgresses every single one of those, that long list of forbidden relationships, only he's going to become tame, but the Chadaminai, if he only transgresses one of them, lo, he won't become tame? Ela can only be, Ela love, it must be ba'achas mekol eile, even if a person was to transgress one of those immoralities, he wouldn't come to me. Hachanami said, like I said, but achas mekol elu, only one of these 11 good midas it gives will earn the person the guarantee of osa ele lo yimot leolam. The Marasha asks us such a simple question on this that I was embarrassed not to think of it. The Gemara is trying to prove the difference between osa ele and osa kol ele. The Pasuk does not say Ose Kol Eile, you've got to do all of them. The Pasuk just says Ose. Oh. Yeah. The Gemara asks a simple cash on this. The Gemara doesn't, the Gemara is trying to prove that it doesn't say Ose Kol Eile, it says Ose Eile, the one who does these. But the Gemara proves it from a Pasuk Val Titamu'u B'chol Eile. So that word Kol appears in that Pasuk in Dash. Excuse me. And Pasha Zachimus, Al Titamu B'chol Eile, which seems to imply don't become Tommy with all of them, which could give you the exact opposite, that you'll only become Tommy if you do transgress all of them, but not if you only do one of them. So Masha's Kasha, and he answers that the word kol can mean different things in different psukim. I didn't follow the answer of the Masha fully. Okay. Now, we are on the home run. Yeah. Oh, good. Yeah, we're nearly done. Sorry, 1 second. Yeah. Oh, yes. And in that light, just refer you to Pasuk in Shmuel Beis. Shmuel Beis, it's chapter Tesvav, Pasuk Yudalef. Excuse me. Where the Pasuk speaks about the beginnings of Avshalom's rebellion against David. And the Pasuk says, "That's Avshalom Holchem Asayim Ishmu Shalayim." 200 men went with Avshalom, joined his gang, and they came from Shalayim. Keruim, they were invited, presumably by Avshalom. V'holchem Asumam, and they were going, but they were completely unaware of Avshalom's real intentions, namely starting a revolution against David. V'lo yodu'u kol dovar. They didn't know anything. They had no idea what Avshalom was about. They just saw him as a charismatic leader. But they didn't see him as the rebel he was going to become. V'lo yodu'u kol dovar does not mean they didn't know everything. It means they didn't know anything. They didn't know anything about what Avshalom was trying to do. So this word kol can mean different things in different psukim. It doesn't always mean all. We'll close now with Medrash Shochet Tov. on where, and that's going to, which will serve as a summary of the whole chapter. The Medrash Shir Chatzin goes through the whole chapter, so we'll actually run through the whole chapter again, where he says that the entire chapter refers to different middos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Mitzvah Medavid, Hashem mi ogur ba'olecha, who can dwell in your tent, Mishkam HaKoshecha, who will live in your holy mountain. And now we have all these 11 wonderful middos described. Holech Tomim, says the Medrash Shabbatot, who is referred to by Holech Tomim? It's a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shenema, Hatzur Tomim Pa'alo. Ufoel Tzedek, who's this man? Who's the one who does righteousness? These are all middos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shenema, Ki Tzadik Hashem, Tzedokas Ohev. V'zodah emes bovavo, Zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, reference to Hashem, Shenema, V'Hashem Elokim emes. No, osalere ehirot. So these middos all apply, all really pertain to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lo osalere ehirot, one who doesn't do bad to his friends. Who's that? Say HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shelo osalere ehirot, b'shas egel. He could have harmed us and he didn't. Dechsiv, v'aynochem Hashem ala ro'o. He changed his mind about the evil. V'chepal anos al karovo, he didn't bring shame upon his relatives. Zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shememar, livnei yisal am karovo. Again, this is connection with Korov and Korovo. Korovo, we are considered the relatives of the ones close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kedah itzrich lehem b'shittim. I'm not sure what that means. Nimzeh be'enov. Nimos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu despises the one who is despised. Zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shemo'as b'malchus Sha'ul. He despised the Meluch of Sha'ul after Sha'ul did things not in line with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's wishes. Shenema, va'ani ma'astiv mimeloch alisol. I've despised him. So that's a reference to Hashem there. The esirei Hashem ichabed, he honors those who fear him. Zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amar Rav Simon, where's that come from? That's v'ha'om lenosa ad he'osef Miriam. After Miriam spoke Halashon HaRab, she's described as one who fears HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore Melamed teaches us Shenis Akev Lo Amud He'onon. The pillar of cloud didn't move away. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mechabed, gives honor to those who fear him. Nishba Lahora V'lo Yomei, takes a shvu and he won't change his mind. Zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, every one of these middos can be used to describe Hashem. Shenema V'ulam Chai Oni V'yimolei Chavot Hashem, I think is the pasuk in Bamidbar chapter Yudalit. I don't remember what that pasuk is about. V'omer v'lachin ishbati l'beis Eli. Again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take a shvua, as he did with the house of Eli after his two sons weren't up to the mark, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the shvua that the family of Eli would die young. Im lahora lo yomish v'osu l'tev alachas kama l'cham. I'm not sure what that means. Rab Ovin Omer, well, I'm going to miss that bit. Kasper lemosam b'neshech, not giving money on interest. Who's that? Zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shelemosam es haTorah b'damim. He didn't charge us any money. Yeah, there's no bill. You know, he didn't send us an invoice for taking the Torah. Shenema paskin Yishai chapter nun hey below chesef of below nechir. V'shochad al noki lo lokoch. He doesn't take a bribe. She'im miskanshin kol umus. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not open to bribery. If the non-Jews would try to bribe him, you know, to buy the rights to the mitzvah, he wouldn't take it. And so on. So all these descriptions of all these wonderful middos can all be used to describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then the Medrash Shir Chatzin goes back again over the chapter. Can we finish off here with Mitzvah? Yeah. Goes again over the whole chapter again, picking out individuals in history, saying to whom it refers. We already seen this as we went from the Gemara in Makkos, which spoke about certain individuals. Holech Tomim, back on Pasuk base. Holech Tomim, the one who goes in perfection. Zeh Avraham. Shenemar, Hishalech Lefonai Veheye Somim. Be perfect. Zeh Holech Tomim is Avraham. Ofoel Tzedek, doing righteousness. Zeh Yitzchak. He, with absolute tzidkus, tzedek, he was prepared to lay down his life at the Akedah. V'dodah emes b'vavo, ze Yaakov, shenema, titin emes l'Yaakov. Again, a link word on the word emes. Lo rogal al-lashono, who didn't use his tongue badly, ze binyomin. It's a reference to Binyamin, right? The son of Yaakov. Shehoya Yodea b'michiros Hashem Yosef. He knew that the brothers had sold Yosef. V'lo gila la'oviv. And he never told his father. So to do so would be l'rogal la'ashem. It's like speaking l'ashem around by his brothers. He didn't. He didn't say a word. Imagine all his ears. He kept quiet. Unbelievable. Lo asra l're'ehu ra'a. Not doing bad to one's fellow. Ze Yosef. The reference to Yosef. Shehoya yochel la'asas l'echav ra'a v'lo asra. He could have been really horrible to his brother. He's going to bang them all up and in an Egyptian prison for years on end. Didn't do it. He didn't actually bring any harm to them. The cherpa lenos al karuvo doesn't bring any shame upon his relative. Zeh Pinchos, reference to Pinchos. Shehoya mishivto shel Levi. He came from the tribe of Levi. Of course, because Pinchos spent a lot of an hour in Hakohen, so it comes from the tribe of Levi. The Zimri, and of course, he killed Zimri, who is the nosi of Shevet Shimon. He came from the tribe of Shimon. And Levi and Shimon in the... thank you. Shimon and Levi Achim. Yes, but... oh, I wasn't thinking of that. Oh, I didn't think of that. Yeah, Kleichamos Mechei. Oh, yeah, you know about Achim, of course, yeah. Kleichamos Mechei Rosom? Mechei Rosom, thank you. Yeah. But besides that, they were geographical neighbors in the Midbar. And I think I'm right. I didn't check it. I think I'm right. Shimon and Levi's territory, or where they resided in the Midbar, as they travelled through the Midbar, they were together.
So Shimon was near Yehuda.
I don't know. I can't remember.
Korach.
That was Reuven. Reuven, Levi, and Reuven. Korach came from Levi. I'm not sure, but I think I should have checked, and I didn't. Shimon and Levi. I think that's how it says they were Korovim. They were like neighbours.
Oh.
Yeah, that's how it says that. What's the pasuk? Lo osler v'cherpa l'nosa al karovo. That's to his, the one who's close to him is Pinchas. Shai meshita shalevi v'zimah meshevet Shimon. V'chimish ha'ra'a osa ma'asa amad ala v'harogo. And once Pinchas saw what Zimim was up to with this Moabite woman, he got up and he killed him. Mivzeh be'in of Nimos. The one who's disgusting is despised. Zeh Moshe. Shem mo'as bevizas mitzrayim. Moshe didn't take any of the spoil from Egypt. Could have done, but he didn't. Everyone, all the Yidden, when they left Egypt, they were busy taking as much loot as they could, and Moshe got busy in bringing out the Oren of Yosef. So that was, he felt that money would be despised, and so he wasn't interested in it. The Siri Hashem Yechabed, the one who he honors those who fear God, Zeh David, Shemema, Vayovo David el Tiklog. David came to a place called Tiklog, and he said, Hinei Lechem Bracha, and I'm sorry, I don't remember what that pasuk is about. Another pshat on this event of Nimos is the Chizkiya Melech Yehuda. This we learned, the Gemara brought it. Shegeirer Asmus Avivel Mitzvah Shel Chavolim. Remember, he dragged the bones of his father Ochoz. Remember, we spoke about that last year, I think. Yeah, dragged the bones of Ochoz in order to bring shame upon Ochoz, in order to impress upon the people that his father had been a terrible man. The Sira Hashem Yechabed to Yehoshaphat Melech Yehuda. Again, this was in the Gemara in Makkos Kaftalot. Shevishosh Ro'a Talmid Kocham Haya Umid Mekisim Mechadka Menashke Vekura Rebbe Mary Mary. We did that already. Nishva Lahora Velo Yome. Someone who takes a Shavuah. Who's that? Zer Boaz. Why? Because Shenishva LeYitzro, he made a Shavuah to control his Yetzara. Ruth came to him in the middle of the night, and they had absolute privacy, and he could have consummated the marriage, or he could have had Bior with her there and then. No one would have known about it, but he knew it wouldn't be right, because she should be doing a chalitza with someone else first. So he said, Chai Hashem, I swear by God, Shichvi at Aboke, stay here till the morning. And he took a shvuah that he wasn't going to touch her in order not to do anything wrong. So he took a shvuah to control his yetzirah. Dovah Acher, another pshat is reference to Elisha ben Shofat, who, when Elisha cured Naaman of his leprosy, of his tzaraas, and Naaman wanted to give him a whole bunch of goodies for it, a lot of money, he said, Chai Hashem, I swear by God, Asher Abadit, Ebafanav, Im Ekoch, I will not take any money. I'm not taking anything from you. So again, this nishba lahara v'lo yomir, taking a shvuah to avoid an avera. So Acher, another pshat is reference to Eliyahu Anovi, Shenema Chaya Hashem, Emiya Hashanim O'Ele Talamata, when he took a shvuah to withhold the rain. There wouldn't be any rain. We're nearly done. He didn't pay any money on interest. Ovadia, although the time of Achav took the Nevi'im and the Talmid Chachamim and for their own protection he hid them from Achav and from Yizevel, Sheikh Bias HaNevi'im B'Amaori hid them in a cave, 300 Nevi'im, 150 in one cave and 150 in another, V'Hoya Lover U'Machilan, he lent them money to Kitzvag and he gave them food. They've never charged money for teaching Torah. Shammai and Hillel, where Hillel was impoverished. Veshochad Anoki Lelokoch, says Shmuel. Here's the reference to Shmuel, possibly said earlier. Hinenu Anuvi Lechamer Echad Mehem. No, not that one. Oh, this is possibly quoted from Shmuel earlier, where he said, "I haven't taken anything." That's possibly about Moshe. We mentioned the possibly earlier today. That's Shmuel. Osa Ela Leimot. Someone who does all these good midas will not falter. So every one of these good midas can be ascribed to different individuals throughout history. Thank you for waiting.